Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description.
Want to be in that school? Do you want to become some antlered creature?
I won't, as long as I do what I'm supposed to do. No, it might not be exactly what I want, but that's not what life is. You don't just get everything you want.
Yeah, you fight for it.
When we get on the bus, I'm gonna sit like, I'm not gonna sit next to Dakota. I'm gonna sit like a row back or something. Like, I'm gonna sit on my own seat and look out the window.
Skirts are so short and frilly.
Yeah, but that's what girls wear.
Girls can't wear anything else?
I mean, that's just what we were taught.
Maybe I have to have a person that wears pants then. Is that a problem?
No, I didn't. Never said it was. I just thought it was strange. Kit Kraft, leader of the rebellion, believes in this idea that the sublime is a simulation. And so the proposal made to you, once they finished building whatever contraption was necessary to enter the code of the sublime, and have you go in there and take him out. But at the time, you were like, what?
Yeah, right.
What is this nonsense? What?
What?
I think he's still kind of like, what? But
I'm as real as you, or Walter, or Dakota. Why do you think I'm not real?
Because Dakota never sees you.
And that's because I don't like Dakota very much, so I just hide. There's a sign just on the other side of the bridge that just says, the Botanical Carnival.
Hey, Lucy.
Yeah.
If you ever decide you're tired of driving the same bus route for eternity, well, we'll be.
Walter?
Yeah.
I would not be caught dead in the wildlands. I'm just gonna tell you that right up front. But if you ever find yourself back on my bus route, I'm sure I'll see you.
All right.
I'll take care now. Now that you are all out of the bus, standing at like the kind of entrance of this trail, you all can hear the sounds of, well, the pretty typical sounds of a carnival. There is music and the sound of people and the smells of carnival food, the sweet and savory and salty smells of funnel cakes and popcorn
and corn dogs
and pizza and cotton candy and the sounds of
and Kendrick, you are making my real physical body right now.
Yep, I know. And the sounds of laughter and the sounds of mechanical rides grinding their gears against wooden posts and beams as whatever fantastical things are happening on the other side of this path await for you.
Dakota starts walking that way. Nowhere else to go.
Let's fucking go.
You see that Marley, who is standing next to you, like looks a little hesitant and like, yeah, just follow, kind of follows your lead.
Yeah, I'll just follow behind and trailing with Elsie.
Okay, yeah. You and Elsie walk side by side as the two of you are going down. And Walter, I imagine you're going as well.
Yeah.
Cool. As you all go down this path, you see that this break in the trees, there is a point where the like trees themselves kind of stop. And you realize that you're actually walking through what seem to be these arches that are spread about like 3 feet away from each other, but are like creating this strange tunnel as you continue to go on. And you see like the walls of these arches are lined with vines and foliage that climb up them. And as they reach to the top, some of the vines covered in white and yellow flowers hang limp from the like kind of top of the arches that are about like 6-7 feet high. And you see like the arches are connected by this interwoven wicker sides that are like creating like a solid tunnel between them, also allowing for like more of the foliage to continue to grow up them. And as you come out the other side of this tunnel, you all are greeted with the fantastical sight of a mixture of a botanical garden mixed with a carnival. Out in this open field of multicolored stands of white and red pinstriped and white and blue and white and purple pinstriped stands of carnival games and food stands of all kind, sit between this very strange collection of plant life. Trees and bushes, flower pots, and small ponds overgrown with moss and lily pads, tall trees blooming with flowers of a rainbow of colors, all of what you would imagine should normally be green grass and trees and leaves and so on and so forth, are this array of autumnal colors of purples and oranges, browns and golds that still somehow manage to fit themselves and meld beautifully with the more ridiculous carnival surroundings. There are people of all kinds here. You see, there are the humans here, but then there are also animal people, similar to Principal Albert or Miss Jackson, where you see there is a stand where a buffalo man is working a cotton candy machine, where a mother and her kid are standing there, and the kid is like waiting, like hopping up and down waiting for this cotton candy to be done, and he's swirling it, and as he finishes, he hands it down, and the mother actually grabs it from him, hands it to her kid, and as her kid turns, you see that the kid actually has like the kind of faintest what look like kind of scales, you're not quite sure, but it kind of looks like it from this distance. And there's just like an array of people here enjoying some of the carnival games, like it's not skeet shooting, but you know, the bottle shooting game with the like cork rifles. You see, yeah. Someone doing like the dunk tank. There's all, you see clowns and performers and carnies of all kinds entertaining this group of people in the center part of this carnival, amidst all of the other beautiful trees and plants and such, is this tall Ferris wheel. There it stands, you could only imagine, maybe 50, 60 feet tall. It is made of this dark, solid, sturdy wood. The wheel itself of a similar wood. And though it continues to spin, there is no burdensome creaking or groaning or scraping noises. It just continues to spin cleanly and smoothly. The buckets on the Ferris wheel are of this well-crafted white metal, almost like little like gates or almost like these small little gazebos, like made in a bucket, where it's got like the fencing around the bottom part of it. It's got the posts that come up and like a slanted roof to them, and around like up and around the fencing ends of these gazebo buckets are like vines and flowers, making them look like their own little terrariums as they spin around this Ferris wheel. What do y'all do?
Damn.
Man, this place sounds kick-ass.
Can we just walk in? There's like no like entrance gate or anything? Nope.
It is just this open air. There's no like gates protecting it from like people just coming in. It's this open carnival.
Can we see where the like food and sections would be? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can see where there is food and such.
Dakota takes like four strong steps in that direction and then freezes. And like kind of turns on her heels and looks back and goes, "We don't have any money, do we?"
No. That can be negotiated, I'm sure.
Negotiated like your diner situation?
All right. I'll admit maybe I don't make the best decisions when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Oh.
But I'm sure we can figure something out. I'm not going to turn away some starving kids, right?
You'd be surprised.
And a poor little defenseless weasel. I mean, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Dakota turns and starts walking that way again towards the food.
Okay. What food stand are you going to?
Should probably get some like protein, right? Probably like,
yeah, towards like the corn dogs, I guess. Or, like the pizza.
Corn dogs, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Corn dog stand then?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. You head on off to the corn dog stand. You see as you are approaching it, the stand is being run by this, what is the most interesting animal to be running a corn dog stand?
A dachshund.
Okay, cool. there we go. Got it.
Like the hot dog dog. Like, perfect.
I find that really amusing. Right,
that is pretty good. You... cool. So you see this dachshund. It's this long boy. you see this long dachshund person wearing a pinstripe, like red and white pinstripe shirt with a red vest over top it. And a little like straw hat with like a red ribbon around it. Dark coat with like a light brown underbelly, like and like snout. Tiny hands and arms sees you all coming, and he's and they go,
Step right up. I got just the thing you need. You all seem like some hungry kids. I got some corn dogs for you. How about it? Let's see.
And they, with their tiny arms, like count each of you one by one, like alternating hands for the counting, you know? There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, all right. How about it? I could do 4, the price of 2. Half off. How about it?
How much is the price of 2?
Well, the price of 2 is, well, that's a secret for both.
What? Huh? Come again?
Oh, is this your first time to the botanical, I almost said gardens. Is this your first time to the botanical carnival?
Yeah, we're new here.
Oh, well, no need to worry. I'm glad that old Logan can be the first one to help you all out here. Now, you see, at the Botanical Carnival, we realized that ain't nothing more beautiful than our own humanity, you understand? Ain't nothing more beautiful than life worth living. You see, going alongside that, ain't nothing more valuable than secrets we gain during that life. So, instead of money, we take secrets.
Dakota kind of looks back and, do you guys have any secrets you wanna share?
Not that I particularly want to share.
I mean, they're secrets.
Listen, we need the food, okay?
Don't worry, it don't have to be nothing terribly big. It could just be something small. Though the juicier the secret, the more valuable, I'm sure you understand. If it's a particularly juicy one, I'll just do it for one.
Who wants to go first? Dakota, Dorothy, not Walter.
You see Dakota kind of looking at their feet and kind of like breathing a bit heavier, and you can tell that they're kind of getting ready to like talk.
Marley speaks up. She goes, oh, I don't like corn. My mom always makes like roasted corn for dinner. She says it's her specialty, but I'm not really a fan. And he goes, oh, ho, ho, now that is quite the secret. I'll take that. They reach out into the air, and as they do, they grab and like flip over their hand, and in their hand is a seed that's like glowing. And then the glow faintly dissipates, and they tuck it into like a little pocket in their vest, and says, "All right, one more secret, and I can get you all those those corn dogs."
Walter is intently remaining silent.
Dakota kind of gets a bit closer to Logan and mumbles, "I like living with the Abbots."
Oh, ho, ho. I have no idea what that means, but I'll take it. And reaches out their hand, clasps at the air, upturns their hand, and another glowing seed appears, and they tuck it away. All right, four corn dogs coming up, and they bend over like and behind the the stall, and you see it's just like this long curve as their like body seems to like elongate to go down, and they come back up but not uncurving their spine, just curving again, and it comes up, and it's like they continue to elongate, but their like shirt and vest don't, so it's just like their dog body curving up, and they have four corn dogs in their hands, and they hand them out to you all, and says, "Well, there you go, four corn dogs, condiments are right over there." Points over at like a ketchup mustard relish kind of deal at the end of the stand and says, "Those are free."
Thank you, Logan.
Of course, come right on back whenever y'all are hungry for another corn dog.
Of course. I kind of. Walter is like holding a whole corn dog and he's like, "Kind of didn't realize how much food this was going to be for me."
I take my corn dog and I like, I kind of split it in half and I offer half of it to Elsie.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, you gotta be hungry too.
Yeah, I am. And she takes it and pops it in her mouth and chews and eats.
Great. I eat the rest of my corn dog.
Dope.
Dakota goes to the condiment stand and puts the single line of mustard on the corn dog.
Terrible choice. Can I? I'm sorry. I know we weren't supposed to, like, but can I, like, scrutinize Elsie? Like, I would like to, like, I would like to, like, take a gander at her if I can.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, you take
I'm a just, long I'm, part. I'm still so confused by it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that you've been doing that this whole time, so roll plus needle. I don't know what's so confusing here. It's just your friend.
I... Shut up. That's 10.
Ask your GM two of the following questions, which they will answer truthfully.
All right. What here isn't as it appears to be?
You are so bewildered by this new reality in which you are living, where Elsie seems to be flesh and blood. I mean, you are able to touch her, talk to her. She has eaten in front of you.
Yeah.
And that all seems so strange. But you know that something is off, because as you have given her the food and you see her eat, it's just so weird that no one else sees her. Mm-hmm. Logan counted you all and only counted four. She is a new person, has joined your group, and no one has mentioned it. And even more so, I think it's Marley who you notice after you, like, give the food to Elsie. She, like, kind of looks to where you give the food. And then, like, after you let go of it, where, like, Elsie grabs it, you see, like, she kind of does the look and then the look down as if you've dropped something.
Dorothy having a mental breakdown? All right, cool. What should I be wary of, I guess, is my second question.
You all are starting to eat on your corn dogs, kind of like you're just kind of milling about out here in front of the stand. And you notice Logan, after you all are kind of done with your thing, reaches into their pocket, takes out a couple of the seeds that you had all just paid them and the people before you as well, counting them up, looking at them, gives a nice, like, kind of a happy smile. And they deposit the seeds into, like, a little bucket that is behind the stand. And you see they put out the bucket. Like, they take the bucket, put it onto the counter of the stand. And you see it be dragged off of the stand, but not, like, dragged off and then, like, fall. Dragged off and then, like, pulled up and over the stand by what looks like maybe an invisible wire that is, like, taking it and up, up, up what? Towards the Ferris wheel.
Hmm.
Okay. Huh. Don't love that. Guess that's information that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota's kind of chowing down on her corn dog, but, like, looks to Marley and, like, with a mouthful is like, do you like it?
You see that she, like, has it in her hand and is, like, toying with it, with the other hand, like, pulls off, like, the top part of it and kind of, like, smells it and says, do we not need forks?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just eat it. Just bite it.
Okay. And you see she puts it in her mouth, chews it, and there's, like, this, like, almost knee-jerk reaction of, like, she goes, that's weird. The texture,
Yeah, you kind of gotta get used to it.
It tastes good, but it feels like it might be missing something.
Oh, yeah, so there's, like, a bunch of stuff over here you can put on it, and, like, Dakota kind of, like, points to the condiments.
Oh, like, ketchup.
So it's like,
which one should I do? One should I do?
What do you think it's missing? Does it need, like, something sweet, kind of? Does it need something, like, zesty? What does it need?
Maybe something zesty, I guess?
Yeah, do mustard, then.
Oh, okay. do I put it on the, and she like goes to like just put it like where, like just on the top of it where like she had like pulled off the piece of it, and just like puts like a whole squirt on it, so it's just like this mound of mustard on the top of this corn dog.
Oh, that's not gonna be good. That's not gonna be good.
Wait, how do I eat it now? And she says that, she just looks at it. Do I just
there's two ways. So either you can like kind of like do it like corn on the cob, or you can like pull it so that like it kind of reaches the end of the stick again. I like the corn on the cob part because I think it's fun. So but I'm not too sure.
And she goes to try to take a bite out of it, and it's just like mustard. It's just mustard. Like maybe a little bit of corn dog, but it's mostly mustard. She goes, oh, I think there's too much zest.
Yeah, it takes like a real good balance. You kind of got to learn how to do it over time.
Okay. I might need your help.
Just, you know, just spread it around. You don't got to leave it all in that clump. You can...
Okay. She takes her finger and just like takes some of it off and just like spreads it along the side of the corn dog. I'm like, okay. And then she tries another bite and is like, that was better.
Yeah. You're figuring it out.
I think I got more corn dog on that one.
More corn dog, less zest.
Yeah. I think this was better. Okay. This is, it's pretty good. I think I just gotta figure this out.
Well, hey, you're getting it.
Yeah. She smiles for what seems like the first time, like really smile to you all. And as she does, her horns grow a little larger.
Okay.
Everything's fine. It's fine.
Cool. Everything's fine. It's fine. It's fine, guys.
Cool.
So as Code taking a bite, Code, where from Rex, guys?
What time of day did you say it was? It's like,
it is getting, I will say it's like getting like maybe late evening. Like, it's not quite sunset, but it's kind of getting to around that time.
Walter says, we might want to just hang out here for the night. Might be a little nicer than trying to hit the road. What do you think?
I mean, it sounds good to me, but we got plenty of real estate. Dorothy, what do you want to see next?
I don't care.
You okay?
Yeah, Dorothy. What's wrong?
Nothing. I just want to go home.
Well, yeah, we're on our way.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a carnival. You like carnivals?
I've never been to a carnival.
Well, then let's find something to do then.
Yeah.
Do you want something else to eat or?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't like this place. Feels weird.
We're gonna be here for a little while, and then once we get ourselves collected, we're gonna head out to the wildlands, right? That's the plan. So we can use this time to try and rest and, you know, get our spirits up, and then we can head back out into the wildlands. It's gonna be a long walk.
Okay. If you say so.
Is there like, let's see, what would I actually know of? I'm trying to think like what Dorothy might have like a frame of reference for.
She probably saw it in cartoons.
Like shows, carnival, right? Food or carnival games or like...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the... I mean, Dorothy and Dakota are from the 21st century.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. As like, much... It's the classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Information is readily available.
Readily so available, yes.
I would imagine she is no stranger to what they can be and what might be there.
I'm gonna go... I wanna go check out the Ferris wheel.
Maybe save the best for last. Unless you really, really want to go right now. We can do that if that's what you want.
You don't want to. I just saw the secrets going there and I wanted to know more about that, maybe. But...
Secrets? What do you mean?
Well, you guys paid for the corn dogs with secrets. And then the dog put them out and they went toward the Ferris wheel.
Well, you think that's important, then we can go check that out, I guess.
Okay, I could go with Elsie, and I could meet up with you guys afterward. You don't have to come if you don't want to.
No, we'll go with you.
Let's save it. We'll do We'll do something else. I don't want. We should get more food.
What do you want? Do you want something sweet? Do you want something? Do you want popcorn? They have funnel cakes. I saw. They had pizza. Yeah. What do you want?
I think a funnel cake could be fun.
You want a funnel cake? I got you. And Dakota kind of walks off by herself over to the funnel cake stand.
Cool.
I'm going to trail her.
Walter, what are you doing?
I don't think he would wander far from the group. I think he's just coming along.
Okay.
He's still working on the one corn dog.
the one singular corn dog.
It's like a third of the size of him. So it's like, you know, this is significant.
It's a big corn dog. Yeah.
No, that's totally fair.
A lot of food for a little weasel.
A lot of food for a little weasel. Awesome. So yeah, you walk over to the funnel cake stand. What would be the most interesting creature for it to be?
An elephant. Okay. Because they're sometimes called elephant ears. I don't know.
Are they? Are funnel cake called elephant ears?
Are they?
This sounds like some more tinnitus. This sounds like some more tinnitus
bullshit. Tinnitus bullshit.
No, I've never heard them called elephant ears.
Those are two different things.
Why would they be called elephant
ears? Those are two different things.
Are you serious?
Elephant ears are a different type of pastry.
They are. But it is...
Similar, yes.
Make it whatever you want. That's just what I immediately thought.
It's going to be it's an octopus. I really like this.
That's perfect.
That's really good.
So you walk up to this stand where this orange octopus that is wearing a similar uniform, where it's the white and red pinstriped shirt. The shirt comes down. It has, of course, obviously 8 sleeves for the 8 arms of this octopus. Mm-hmm. And as you approach, she says, "Oh, hello there! I see you. You four are looking for perhaps some funnel cakes, are ya?"
Yeah. Can we get 2 by any chance?
Well, 2 funnel cakes, that'll be 2 secrets.
What if I give you a really good one?
Oh. Well, in that case, I would just take the one, but it better be juicy.
Okay. And Dakota kind of steps up to the stand and leans in to quietly say and goes, "I wanted to kiss Scarlet at Halloween."
Ooh, I have no idea what that means, but a kiss, a juicy kiss. Ooh, that is a secret. She takes one of, two of her tentacles come out, like, wrap over each other and then like unravel to reveal a seed. It's bigger than the other ones and glowing a little more. She takes it and puts it. She's wearing like a bucket hat. She's wearing like a bucket hat and puts the seed into the bucket hat and says, "2 funnel cakes coming right up." And you see she uses her tentacles to grab various like squirt bottles. And like in the boiling vat of oil, she takes the squirt bottles, squirts in like a twisting knotted pattern into the oil as it's being deep fried. The smell of cooking dough like wafts. It's filling the air. And after like about a minute or so, she takes one of her other arms, scoops it out onto a plate. Another two arms grabs some powdered sugar and like neatly kind of like pats it, and this sweet smell of sugar and fried dough fills this space. And she takes out the two plates of it that she makes and hands it over the counter to you.
Thank you. Kind of quickly walks away after spilling her guts to an octopus in a bucket hat. I love them so much.
As one does.
Holds out the plate and kind of offers it to Dorothy, and then also like asks like, "Marley, is it okay if we split this one?" And they split that one.
I'm okay with that. Does this one need mustard?
No, it most certainly does not need mustard.
Oh, okay. Cool. Because I think I've had my
relish.
I think I've had my fill of mustard.
Yeah. And it kind of breaks off a piece and munches on it.
It's the best funnel cake you've ever had.
Oh.
It is still warm and soft, melts in your mouth, and the powdered sugar creates this wonderful, sweet, pillowy flavor in your mouth. As like there's that bit of a crunch to it. Mm. It's like it's like fried to like the perfect amount where there's that bit of crunch and then soft, fluffy melt in your mouth dough under, and the sweet like just like spreads out, and it's
I fucking hate how so good you are at describing that. God, fuck you.
God damn it.
Yeah, fuck you, man. How am I gonna get funnel cake
where
at
am I,
one?
Where am I gonna get funnel
I'm sorry, cake? Y'all. It's currently my job to sometimes have to describe how food tastes.
Oh, man, dude.
It's true.
Hey, you know, that's a good point. Yeah, that is
I can
fair.
Literally just feel it. I get, yeah. No, Dakota's in silence, just enjoying that bite. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I think Dorothy's in the same boat, just like kind of in awe of how good the funnel cake actually is. Like nothing has like lived up to expectations in the way it's like, you know, you get a soft pretzel sometimes. It's like, oh, it's going to be the best. And then it's like a little hard or like it's not
warm enough.
The cheese is
like lukewarm.
Yeah, it's rubbery. And you're like, oh, that's not the soft pretzel that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
and like
no,
having something live up to the hype of like what a funnel cake's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
It is always the soft pretzels, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And also, I know we kind of skipped over it. The corn dogs were also amazing. Best corn dogs you've all ever had. It's got that really, it's like the perfect, it's like the salt levels of the meat were perfect. And it was like juicy into the bite. It's like not overcooked, which is like the worst possible thing a corn dog could be. And it's the batter, the corn batter for like the actual, for like the over part. It's like, it wasn't too gritty that sometimes corn dogs are, you know, when it's like actual, like when they're like trying to make it like cornbread and it's like, this just doesn't feel right. But it was like the perfect texture. It was like a bit crunchy on the outside because it's got that fried dough, of course, but it was like savory, and like the meat juices from the sausage you could tell had like seeped into the actual bread of the corn dog, so it kind of tasted all, it was just like, it was
fucking
welcome to the episode where you immediately look up the nearest carnival.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Dude, no one...
And really miss the state fair.
Listen, nowhere in, like... You can't just go to a store and get, like, a fresh-made funnel cake. Like, no one just does that.
Yeah.
And honestly, a bit rude.
What's with that?
You can make your own, though.
I don't want to do that, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That takes work.
Also, hot oil, scary. Ouch, no one.
Yeah. I have sensitive skin, kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah, what he said.
My skin is sensitive because when I get hot oil on it, it hurts.
Oh, that makes sense.
You are, you're alone in that.
Yeah.
What a quirky thing.
You're just
thing.
A weirdo. Maybe only that happens.
You go to a dermatologist?
Walter, still eating the same corn dog, speaks up. Yeah. Dakota, you're pretty willing to kind of let those go, huh?
It kind of feels good.
Does it?
I don't know. It's a lot of things that always just sit in the back of your mind, you know? Get them out of there. Feels nice.
Yes. I don't know.
I've taken, I guess, the other funnel cake. I'm sharing it with Elsie.
Question mark?
Question
mark, I feel like.
She takes a piece and eats it.
What do we see?
Yeah, like, can
what
I watch Marley or something again?
Are you all paying attention? Yeah, I mean, if you all are paying attention, you notice that...
I do have half of the... Like, I have a whole plate right now, so I don't know.
Yeah, you all see that she takes pieces and seems to just drop them.
And then kind of goes, oh, Dorothy, you're dropping your funnel cake.
No, I'm not.
What? It's on the ground right there. See? And then Dakota goes and, like, I can see it's on the ground, right? And pick it up?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Dakota picks up the funnel cake piece on the ground.
That was for Elsie.
You don't see it, Dorothy.
I don't see it? Cool.
Yeah. In fact, where Dakota goes to, like, grab him is, like, at Elsie's feet, and Elsie, like, kind of backs up and away from Dakota and, like, kind of, like, hides behind you with, like, the kind of scared, like, I don't want to be near her kind of look.
I was just sharing with Elsie. What are you talking about?
Dakota, like, kind of rubs the bridge of her nose with her thumb and forefinger. Is Elsie here right now?
Yes.
What does Elsie have to say?
Elsie doesn't like you, so she doesn't want to say anything.
Can she say why she doesn't like me?
Yes.
Why is that?
Okay, I don't want to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop. It's fine.
Well, it's not fine when you're wasting food, Dorothy.
I'm not wasting it. I gave it to Elsie. Why are you always so mean?
Who's Elsie?
Elsie's my friend.
Dakota turns to Walter and goes, imaginary friend.
She's right here.
Why don't...
Come on, Dorothy. Dorothy, you don't have to fight for me. Let's just go.
No, I'm not...
We can go to the Ferris wheel.
I'm tired of you always being mean to me, Dakota. Elsie doesn't leave. Elsie doesn't try to leave me behind every time that we go somewhere. Elsie and I are going to go over to the Ferris wheel ourselves. And you don't have to come because I don't want you to.
Dakota kind of says in silence because that, like, really stung. It's true.
And I get up and I pick up the pumpkin and I leave the rest of the funnel cake.
Elsie follows you.
Yeah, and I start heading toward the Ferris wheel.
Dakota looks at Marley and Walter and goes, will you two follow her at least? She doesn't want me there.
Is she okay? Are you okay? Are either of you okay?
I'll be fine. Just go after her and make sure she's okay. You can't leave some kid running around the carnival by herself. Will you guys go with her, please?
Okay. Stay close by, alright?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Marley looks over to you, Dakota, and says, are you sure you don't want me to stay with you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just go with her.
No. Okay. No. Marley, you stay with Dakota.
Okay. she kind of looks between. she looks between the two of you. Says, okay, I'll stay with you.
I think I got away from her. Oh, hey, you're still here. Awesome. Guess I'll do the mid-roll while I'm in this closet. Yes, first of all, hey, it's me, Kendo, your friendly neighborhood game master, here to do some housekeeping. I guess, first of all, thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. It means absolutely so much that you are taking the time out of your day to do this. It really means a lot to us, and we've been getting a lot of great feedback, and you all are absolutely wonderful. If you don't already, you should go and follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at TalesYetTold. That's at TalesYetTold. It's where we, you know, give off information about the podcast and, you know, any upload delays or anything that might happen. It's also where we share character art and just try to interact with you and build like a little community and all of that. And share all of our deep, dark secrets. Like, if someone were breaking into your house and chasing you with a knife or something. I don't know. Also, thank you to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for allowing us to be a part of their wonderful little family full of queer actual play podcasts. There are a lot of great ones out there that you all should be listening to, and, oh god, I think she's coming. Okay, don't forget to, eat right, drink well, and, get enough sleep, and love yourself like I love you. Bye.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to.
Need a new gay found family podcast?
We're a queer-led actual D&D play... Nope. We're a queer-led actual play D&D podcast of four best friends who are currently playing... Hold on. We're a bunch of queers playing D&D for a podcast. We're lifelong friends. We have space travel, magic technology, heist, horses, and... a really gooey goblin. I'm stealing all of your stuff. I'm just going to say this entire ad.
We have great bonus content with the first episode of each arc available for free. And the entirety of the first arc, the Bone Rattlers. Each arc is set in a... Excuse me. Each art is set in an in-universe history podcast about each planet in the planetary system. There's more than one.
We have a bunch of episodes available for binging and wonderful characters to fall in love with and hate, including some jank horses.
We have multiple arcs out that follow the story of...
Val, a trite... Ten... Val the Triton, an interplanetary criminal and MLG gamer. Horse rider extraordinaire.
Xerxes, a murderous demon that likes to wear dad hats. And sometimes rides a nightmare horse.
Patches, a part-time old lady, full-time ooey-gooey cyborg goblin, and her trusty rusty steed, Horus.
And Adam, the small boy technomancer, and their journey as they grow and discover the truth to their pasts.
I was going to be mad because I didn't do a character voice, and then I was like, no, I did.
Magic Dagger, if the true treasure isn't friendship, I'm going to be mad.
I'm going to be mad.
If treasure true, friendship bad?
Okay, Walter, you walk off to follow Dorothy.
Yeah.
And Marley stays here to... with Dakota. We'll cut to let's do Dorothy and Elsie and Walter first. Dorothy, you and Elsie are walking off towards the Ferris wheel. You're like kind of in front of her, and she's like trying to like kid walk to keep up with you as you're like, I'm imagining you're just like storming off.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And Walter, you aren't terribly far behind her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got up, took the pumpkin, and, like, yeah, just, like, saw wherever the Ferris wheel was and just started, like, marching off that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just direct beeline.
Gotcha. Yeah, as you are approaching the Ferris wheel, you see, like, at the base of it, the little segment, like, kind of made for where people can, like, enter and exit the Ferris wheel. There's a big turkey boy at the base of this Ferris wheel who is help, like, the Ferris wheel have, like, just gotten to a part where it's letting some people off.
Hey, wait, quick question.
Yes.
Are all of the stands that I've seen just, like, in passing and stuff, are they all run by animals?
Yep.
Okay. I haven't seen any other...
You've seen humans. You've seen humans and people who are here at the carnival, but all of the
people, none of them are running the stands.
Yeah, only animals.
Okay, all right. Sorry, continue.
Okay, there is a big turkey boy wearing the same uniform as everybody else, helping what looks like a couple out of the Ferris wheel, and you walk up. And he looks down at you and says, "Well, well, well, what are you doing here, young lady? You trying to get on the Ferris wheel?"
"Yes, please." "Me and my friend."
"You and your friend." And as he looks around for a friend, Walter, you come
yeah,
up.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He says, "Well, for the two of you, that'd just be one secret."
One secret, huh?
Yep.
I have an invisible friend that no one else can see.
Well, that sounds pretty good. And he holds his feathered hand out, clasps the air, upturn it, and there is not a seed in it.
Oh.
"Well, young lady, it seems like that's not quite a secret now, is it?"
Okay, let me try again. I really wanted Dakota to be my older sister.
Ooh. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds juicy. And he takes his feathered hand out, clasps it, opens it, and a big seed in his hand, glowing. And he says, "Ho, ho, ho. Well, 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 what have we have here? Well, not only will this will be good enough for two rounds in the Ferris wheel, that's for sure. Well, how about the two of you get on in?"
"All right.
Thank you."
"My pleasure, madam." And he, like, helps you onto the Ferris wheel, and you see as Walter walks in. Or do you walk in, Walter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dorothy, you see as Walter just goes on in. Elsie is, like, right behind you. But, of course, the man does not help her on because it seems like he doesn't even see her, but does help Walter on.
Not very considerate of him. Someone's looking out for the weasels of this world.
Well, he's a turkey man himself, you gotta understand.
Yeah, but, you know, weasels. Weasels.
"You were supposed to stay back there with Dakota."
I didn't, so here I am.
"I want to ride the Ferris wheel with Elsie."
"And I want to make sure you two are okay."
"I'm fine."
"I'm...
I don't need you."
I just want to talk to you. Just as a friend." "I'm a friend. I'm your friend, right?"
"I don't know. You mostly hang out with Dakota."
To establish, the man has closed the gates behind you all. And the Ferris wheel starts its journey upwards. As you all are beginning to rise, you get a better view looking over the botanical carnival and the large amount of, like, just what seems to be like a large garden of topiaries and bushes and trees of just like before, and like all the stands and all of the attractions. And you are rising as the sun is beginning to set.
I'm, like, looking out, trying to see if I can see more of those, secret seeds, if they're on their way to the Ferris wheel.
You see a couple of buckets that seem to be rising up, to above where the Ferris wheel is.
Can I, like, does it seem like they're going, like, toward the peak of the Ferris wheel or, like, way far above the peak of, like, what's the...
I mean, from where you are, you can't quite tell because you're not at the top.
Okay.
You're still rising.
Okay. Okay. I'll keep my eye on those. Okay. But I'm, like, in the corner, like, against the side, like, my arms crossed.
Yeah.
I don't know. You mostly hang out with Dakota.
Ah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's mostly because, we kind of plan stuff, but, you know, I guess I should include you in that, too. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I want to get to know you better, okay?
Okay.
When did,
Why?
Because we're friends.
Okay.
When did you meet Elsie?
Long time ago.
Huh, okay.
Back when I was at my old house.
I see.
She's always been there. Most people aren't, so...
Yeah.
So I like to keep her around.
Okay. I see what you, I think I see what you're saying.
Can I, like, look over at Elsie? Like, is she reacting to any of this?
She seems uncomfortable in this situation where she's, like, sitting quietly, like, eyeing down Walter, but is ultimately silent.
Walter says, so, Elsie, do you remember when you met Dorothy?
She does not respond.
I look over at her and I say, you can tell Walter.
Of course I remember when I met you. But I don't want to talk to him.
Why not? Walter's nice.
I just don't trust him.
Okay. I think I do.
Maybe you shouldn't. I mean, what has he done? Other than... I mean, he took us to the sheriff's house, which got us put in that trunk and then taken to the school.
He helped get us out of the school and to the fair.
Yeah, but since his being here is any good either. We're nowhere closer to getting home.
I look back over at Walter. I say she doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm imagining Walter having to witness as a one-sided exchange.
He's like, he's just trying to deduce what the conversation is. I don't think he's having much success.
I don't think so. It was pretty...
Look, Dorothy, I just came along because I'm worried, and Dakota is too. We're worried.
Dakota's just worried she'll get in trouble if I don't show up with her.
No.
She doesn't want me around.
No.
I'm not helpful anyways. I'm just scared of everything and made a bunch of trouble at the school. And I...
Hey.
I don't think...
Hey. If you hadn't made that trouble at the school, we'd all still be stuck there. Marley too.
I don't know. What if we were supposed to be stuck there?
Do you really want that?
No. I don't want any of this.
No, I know. You know. You want to go back home, don't you? Back to the Abbots? Is that the name?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd like to have you back.
I hope so.
Of course. You know, she can be, cold, I guess. But Dakota, if she made it back and you didn't, she wouldn't care about getting in trouble. She'd be sad. She'd never be able to let that go.
How do you know? You didn't live with her.
You're right. But, I don't know.
Walter, do you really think we'll be able to get home?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
As Dorothy, you are asking this, you all are reaching the peak of this Ferris wheel. And from up here, you can look over the tops of the trees. This forest, the sublime, goes on for miles. It is so vast around you. The tops of the trees kind of shadowed in the setting sun. And off in the very, very distant horizon, you can see what looks like lights, multicolored, twinkling in the distance, coming alive as the sun is setting, as night begins to take this land into darkness. Somewhere far off is waking up. And Walter, you know that this is exactly the place that you all are heading.
I think he points that out. I think he says, hey, see that? See those lights?
Uh-huh.
That's our way home.
It looks really far away.
Well, sure. It'll be fun. It'll be like camping. Going on a little hike, you know?
I look over at Elsie again, just to try and gauge what she's thinking about this new information.
She is looking out, not even like wanting to turn her body in the direction of Walter. And she stares out into the distance, away from the twinkling lights in the distance, and off just into the vast sea of trees that is the sublime. And as you kind of look towards her, as she's looking out, you see the buckets that are being risen, and you're looking out and you only see one more bucket that is being lifted, and it is over the top of where you are now, to like the point where it gets over like the roof of where you are, and it disappears out of your line of sight.
Walter, do you know where those buckets are going? Do you see them?
Do I?
Yeah, you see the buckets.
Okay.
Yeah. You're like, as she points it out, you probably like see it as it's like disappearing over the top.
Yeah. Of, okay.
The thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't actually been around here a lot. I don't know how everything here works.
They're full of secrets.
Are they?
I mean, I saw the dog that sold us the corn dogs put out the bucket after he got those secret from Marley and Dakota, and it did the same thing.
Huh. Hey, thanks for paying the price of the Ferris wheel. Appreciate that. I should thank Dakota for the food. I was not really eager to tell any secrets.
Like why you're a weasel?
Yeah, other things. I guess it's all sort of the same.
Well, if you get to know more about me and Elsie, I get to know about you. Fair's fair. If we're gonna be friends.
I ran away, and I didn't know where I was going. I didn't think there was anywhere I could go. And then I was here. They said, you belong here. You have a place here. And I knew they were lying. So, here I am.
Are they lying on purpose?
I don't know. I don't know if they're, I don't know if they're trying to convince me it's true, or they're trying to convince themselves that it's true, or if they're genuinely dumb enough to think that I belong anywhere. I don't know.
Well, I think you belong with us, Walter. I'm sure Elsie will warm up to you at some point.
I hope so. You don't want someone like me around. I don't. Let me be honest with you. I think this. And he like looks down and gestures to his like weasel self. Says, I deserve this. I was not good at being a human. So this is what I get.
Do you think Marley wasn't good at being a human too? Did she deserve her antlers?
Well, no. I guess not. I don't know.
Okay. I don't think you're a bad person. You're trying to help us. And I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, you make a really good weasel. Like, you're probably the best weasel I've ever met. But I think you could be a good human, too.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
We're going to cut away from this. Back to Dakota. Dakota, you are on the ground as the sun is setting at this carnival. Where do you go? Marley is with you, wherever you are.
Yeah, Dakota is on the ground. I would assume that as Dorothy walks away, kind of Dakota sits there and resonates with what Dorothy had to say. And a lot of it's true. I think Dakota knows and feels deep down that they've been a really, really bad sibling. Especially being a kid who has gone through the system and has felt what it's like to be rejected and has come from bad homes. She realizes that she could have made a difference in Dorothy's life that she needs. And she didn't do that. And so it really cuts deep into herself. She definitely just sits or stands with her hands in her pocket watching Dorothy walk to the Ferris wheel.
As Dakota sits there watching as Dorothy walks off, Marley goes, I'm imagining you found like a bench that wasn't too far away from where you all are. It's this nice wooden bench with green painted metal acting as like the legs and support of this bench as it sits between like two large bushes, not terribly far away from where you all were. And you go and sit down and she sits beside you, kind of awkwardly silent. And after a while she just goes, hey, are you doing all right?
No, but I'll be okay. I'm sorry to bring you into all this. You don't need to be a part of our family troubles.
Oh, it's fine, I guess. This is what it's like to be free, I suppose.
Yeah. Funny feeling being free, huh?
Seems like it might hurt a lot more than I originally thought it might, I guess. I mean, well, it seems like it probably hurts about as much as I assumed it would.
Yeah. But I think that hurts most is the truth, right?
Yeah.
It's not very often that a 7-year-old can hit you right in the spot. That's so true, huh?
I guess.
You have any siblings?
No, they didn't give me any. Sorry, I...
It's okay.
Did,
How about... What?
Sorry, no, you go.
No, it's okay. You go first. I'm just, you're entertaining my troubles anyway, so it's all right. Well,
I was just going to ask that they did whoever, I guess, is in charge of wherever you're from assign you two together?
In a way. Assign's a funny word. Where I come from, where I come from, parents choose their kids.
Oh.
But our parents chose us, and we had different parents. But then our parents decided they didn't want us anymore. Or maybe someone else decided that our parents didn't deserve us. And so they took us away, and they put us in another place where they try to give us to other families and assign us to other families. And that doesn't always work too well. And eventually I got put with her.
That seems a little inefficient, I guess.
That's one way of putting it, I guess. Plenty of other kids find homes, though. A lot of kids find homes that way. And they find good families. And they're good kids like Dorothy. It's the bad ones that don't get families, typically. You're looking at one.
You're not bad, Dakota. I mean...
Oh, I don't know about that.
What makes you think you're bad?
I seem to bring trouble everywhere I go. I have a lot of grievances with the families I have and the way they do things, and I'm always getting in fights at schools. And
okay, it does kind of seem like you might be bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, there's always rehabilitation, right? If only doing whatever you want is causing you and, I mean, I guess Dorothy as well, so much pain, then why not just take the role you're given. Make things easier on you.
I've tried that. Easier is a funny word. Maybe different, but not easier. More often than not, taking the role I'm given puts me in a certain place and people expect certain things of me, and that's not the person I want to be.
I guess I understand that. You know, you asked me before what it was that I wanted to do. The thing that, you know, they said that I should be a teacher, but I don't think I want to teach. This is silly. I want to dance, I guess.
That's not silly. Marley, that's not silly
at all. It's a little silly, right?
No, it's beautiful. Dancing's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, but it's not who I'm supposed to be.
And who says so?
Principal Albert.
He's kind of an ass, I'm not gonna lie.
What? You can't say that? She like kind of looks around like, you can't say that?
Well, we're free. We can say whatever we want, can't we?
What do you...
Who's gonna hear? The octopus?
She looks over towards the octopus, who's not too far away, who looks to be like they're getting ready to close up shop. I mean, it's just not right. It's not proper, right? We shouldn't... can't just say that word or any bad word.
Come on, try it. It'll feel good.
Oh, no, you're going to turn me into a bad kid.
No, there's plenty of good kids who can swear every now and then, but it's a taste of the freedom that feels nice. Come on.
She kind of like puffs out her like cheeks a bit, looks around as if like afraid that Principal Albert is about to pop up from the like from behind you all, and she just goes, ass. And she has like the most like giddy child like like she's just gotten away with like the crime of the century.
And then Principal Albert pops up out of nowhere and
says, materializes.
He kind of just starts kind of laughing. See, nothing happened. How'd it feel?
That felt good, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm stressed. You see she's like... she's like stressed, like clenching like at her knees. Felt weird.
Nothing's gonna happen from it. It's a nice taste of that freedom. You can do whatever you want now. I mean, to certain degrees.
But. She does the same thing.
I love this for Marley.
But ass. Damn.
Yeah. Get it, Marley. Get heck. It.
Every time she does it, she gets a little.
Spicy.
She gets a little. there's a light in her eyes that twinkle, and you can tell in the glistening of this like of the night as like the sun is beginning to set. You see her antlers grow a little more every time.
Damn it!
No.
And you see from there's like you can tell that like there's a bit of a commotion. As like people are beginning to gather, not like around you, but like around what seems to be like the Ferris wheel. And they're like talking to each other, whispering back and forth. You're seeing shopkeepers are beginning to close out their stands and standing in front of them, kind of, and everybody's looking up towards the Ferris wheel. You see everyone begin to look up from the like, not like the top of the Ferris wheel, but like maybe like 5-10 feet above it in the air, you see sparks and a flash of light as like a stream of multicolored fireworks begin to pop off into the air. They explode in an array of dazzling colors, sparking off and dissipating into the night. And they go one after the other, after the other, after the other, firing off into the air and exploding into this array of rainbow bliss. On the top of the Ferris wheel, the two of you, or I suppose the three of you, Dorothy, Elsie, and Walter, you can see the lights and hear the sounds of explosions coming from above you, and you can like see down on the ground like people have started to like gather around and are looking up at like in the direction that all of you are in.
Do you think they're looking at the buckets?
I don't know.
You guys would recognize the sound of fireworks, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fireworks. Imagine. Okay, I didn't.
Sure.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Are the buckets full of fireworks?
Maybe.
Let's save that second ride. I think we should maybe get off and look around when we get back to the ground.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. After you all say that, it's like maybe like another like couple of minutes before it like makes it down to the ground. The turkey man helps the both of you off, and the fireworks are still going off above. And as you all like walk off and like turn around to look, you see this gorgeous array of fireworks. They're starting to take the shape of not just like the generic kind of explosions, they're taking like shapes of like animals, of different shapes, of words. You start to see just like they are singular words that amount to like concepts, right? Where you just see like friends, love, heart, kiss, beauty, shame, anger, scared. They're just like singular words that are like amongst all of the other, like you see like dogs and trees and stars and balloons. Like it is just this amalgamation of words and shapes and things and colors that are exploding in the air and more colors than any of you thought possible. And this goes on for like 20 minutes. Is there anything that any of you all do as the fireworks are going off?
I think if Dorothy was down, I think Walter would want to reunite with Dakota and Marley. But I don't think he would if Dorothy was not going anywhere.
No, I'd go back. Not going to be very talkative.
Fair enough.
I did what I wanted to do. I went on the Ferris wheel, you know? Yeah. Like,
yeah. The three of you walk back over and you see Marley and Dakota sitting on a bench.
Dakota kind of looks up and gives them a smile, followed by almost instantaneously kind of looking back down at her own feet in kind of a somber way.
Some fireworks, huh?
Yeah, really something. How was the Ferris wheel?
It was he like looks to Dorothy for an answer. Like he doesn't know what to say.
Where are we sleeping tonight?
I don't know, Dorothy.
That is a good question.
You can always go in the woods.
Yeah. Good old camping.
I mean, the carnival might have these benches up. You can sleep on the benches. Not the most optimal idea, but
might be better than nothing. Could always ask.
I mean, the carnies have to have somewhere to stay, yeah, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Do you want to go ask?
Yeah.
While Walter's walking away, Dakota kind of scooches to the edge of the bench and kind of leaves a spot open between her and Marley if Dorothy wants to sit there, and kind of pats it and then looks away.
Dorothy sits down on the ground.
Yeah.
And starts playing with Timmy, checking in on him.
Timmy's doing all right.
Good for him.
Right on.
He's having a good time. I'm glad that he's doing well.
That scene where the three of you are sitting by the benches as fireworks exploding with the symbols, words, and colors of life explode above your heads in an array of colors. And Walter goes off to see if he can find you all a place to sleep in the botanical carnival is where we'll end this session.